Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
It's going well, Chris. How about yourself?
Pretty good. You know, still at home. Nothing really that exciting going on. I mean, there's a few things, I guess, that are happening, but not a whole lot of tech news. There's some fun things that I think we're going to get into, though, in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's some new things that I'm sure you either bought, have, or will buy. I mean,
it is me, after all.
Yeah, so...
yes, I have bought some stuff. But before we do that, we're kind of getting halfway through the year. Plus, with all this COVID-19 stuff or coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, I don't really care.
Yeah.
With all that stuff going on, I thought it might be interesting to do a yearly theme check-in. But also, Cortex, the podcast that we blatantly ripped this off from, they just had their 100th episode and did this too, and I thought it was kind of interesting. And
yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm kind of curious to hear how your theme has been going, because mine has kind of taken a right turn because of everything that's happening. So what's going on with you?
I'm in the same boat. this might be indicative of how bad my yearly theme was, because I had to actually go and, like, look it up, because I forgot what my theme was.
Yeah.
And it might be partially because of, you know, the current times that we're in, but it also might just be because I haven't been following my yearly theme, or it's just a bad yearly theme that didn't make a good impression on me. I'm not entirely sure, but after looking it up, I had the year of opportunity, where basically I was going to try and make things as positive as I could and flip things that were, you know, a negative into a positive. But as I said, I forgot what it is, so I haven't really been really doing it, but I do have some good news with that, Chris. Much like you, my yearly theme has kind of taken a hard right turn. And I think I might pivot to a different yearly theme for the rest of this year.
Okay. What are you thinking?
So what I'm thinking that my new yearly theme is the year of making.
Okay, explain.
So I have been, writing on my site for quite a bit now. One thing I want to do more of, though, is to make it a regular thing. It's been consistency has always been a consistent issue for me, believe it or not.
Yeah, I seem to think that you've probably moved your site more than you've actually written on your site.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about that? Because we can. I mean, I have.
Did you move your site again?
So I haven't moved my site in the last few weeks, but I did move my site.
I've moved my site one time in like the 5 years that I've been doing the Untitled site. I've moved it one time.
Yeah, I know. And you moved it away from Squarespace, which is probably the best.
Yeah, which was a very positive. See, this is how you know we're not bought off by Big Web. Moving away from Squarespace, that was an incredibly positive thing. Like,
well,
yes, it's really simple for those that aren't tech people. But you know what? There are also other really simple options for those that aren't tech people that are much better than Squarespace.
Right. I almost made my wedding website through Squarespace, but we decided to go.
I could see that actually being decent. Like, I could see something like that. But for, like, a blog or something like that, something that you're going to want to, like, heavily automate or, like, don't use Squarespace for blogs, people. Just don't. Don't use it. Don't do it.
Here's what I say about people that want to do Squarespace. If you want, like, a static website that you're going to edit maybe once every other month, cool. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do something on it, you know, every other week or every week, or how, like, if you write blog posts all the time, maybe consider a different option that would be more friendly, depending on how, you know, tech savvy you are and how many, you know, automation tools you want. Like, but if you're like a business and you just want a static website where people that can find out information about you, maybe look up the menu for your restaurant, or want ways to get in contact with you, or you have a wedding website, like, Squarespace isn't a bad option. It's costly. It costs way more for a Squarespace site than it does for like a WordPress thing. Like, I paid for years. So here's what I did with my site. I did move my site back to WordPress through Namecheap, easywp.com. It's a great place to go to for people that want to get hosting for dirt cheap. You could sign up, and like the first month is literally the cost of a penny, and after that it's like $3.50 a month, Or you could do a full year, which is what I've done, Chris. I paid for a full year this time. Guess how much it cost me for a full year of hosting through this service?
$20.
$22.
Oh, okay.
$22 for a full year. So I have a full year of hosting through them. And it's, you know, it's not like, you know, you can't host a web server with them or anything, but like a simple blog, like what I have, more than enough space, more than enough bandwidth, you know, there's no limit on it, no nothing. So it's incredibly cheap and I recommend it for everyone. In fact, I will put a link in the show notes if people want to join. Should I put an affiliate link? Because if I put an affiliate link,
yeah, you got to get paid. I mean, if you speaking of affiliate links, pouring one out for my Amazon affiliate.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I don't get paid necessarily. I just get like extra months of service. Like for anyone that signs up, get a month of service. Which whatever, I paid for a full year, but it'd be kind of cool. So if anyone like wants to join, like. For $22, you have a website. Like it's not hard to, you know, to do. And then the thing is that it's owned by Namecheap, and I can't say anything bad about Namecheap. The support team has been fantastic for me. They've made things super easy for me. Again, not sponsored, but just as a personal review, I recommend it.
Yeah. I use really quickly. I use blot.im. We've talked about it in the past. I really like it. It's really simple because it's just text files. Like your blog post page literally just has a folder and you just add text files or markdown files to it and it'll take that markdown and automatically convert it into, you know, something looking nice. Mm-hmm. On your website, you can host images in there. You can either host it out of Dropbox or Git. Currently mine's in Dropbox, but I am in the process of setting up some Git stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I've been doing a lot of stuff with GitHub at work, and I know GitHub and Git are different, but I've been doing a lot of stuff with GitHub at work lately, and how much can I say? Not that much. Git is actually really, really interesting. So I think I'm going to move it from Dropbox to Git, but that's super easy to do. And you can really customize it too. You actually wrote a dark mode option for blot.im that is on my website. So like if you pull up my website and swap between light mode and dark mode on your device, it will actually change the web page.
Yeah, so I wrote that. I might be able to find the repository I put it in on GitHub and actually put a link into it. I think I might do that because that might work best. But yeah, I mean, it's super easy. I mean, it wasn't just me that kind of like, I kind of took what Matt Bertzler did on his site and kind of tweaked it to make it fit with Blot's setup. And I've worked with the guy that created Blot for quite a bit, and I really enjoy that service. But for whatever reason, I think it's just because I wanted to have a WordPress site, just because that's kind of what my, you know, expertise in. Like I wanted to have a WordPress site as opposed to just using text files, just because that's just my style. And I also wanted to go back to using Mars Edit, and you can't really do that with Blot. I really enjoy Mars Edit, which is a WordPress, well, it's a blogging setup that you can use that works directly with WordPress and some other sites if you know your way around it, but like it's very, very handy on the Mac. And I wanted to use that because that's kind of like my favorite editing app of choice when it comes to like writing blog posts and sending it out to the web. So I decided to go back to WordPress for those reasons. So I do have like a full year's worth of hosting with WordPress, and I have, set up everything the way that I like it. I've worked on the website. I think I'm using like the standard 2019, 2018 theme. And I just edited the CSS the way that I wanted it to kind of personalize it and make it my own. I decided to go with like a dark theme as the main thing for my website, as opposed to like playing around with having two different themes. I just decided, you know, here's a like a dark gray kind of color and white text, and using the standard orange that I've been using for, you know, quite a while now, for like the accent color. And so I have everything the way that I kind of want it, and I'm happy with it. So, hopefully I'm good with it now. I think the part of the reason that I always go and like play around with my website is because I get kind of bored and I just want to play around with something. And that's kind of like my main it's kind of like Play-Doh for me. Like I just kind of want to customize the site and to see what I can do with it. I think what I might end up doing is I have a bunch of empty domains that I might just, you know, bite the bullet and just pay for, and then just, you know, put some dummy content on there and just play around with it. And if I like what I'm doing, then I'll, you know, make something with it. But I need to stop using my personal website and my personal blog as like my main place to have all this, like me playing around with stuff. Cause I keep forgetting the fact that it's not just me that reads this site and goes to it. So I need to, you know, stick with something and find another avenue that I can use to kind of just like play around with something. So.
And also, doesn't it break everyone's RSS setup too? So like I keep having to resubscribe. So like that's, you're losing your audience every time you move your website.
Yeah.
You're significantly impacting you. Have you ever thought about doing like setting up WordPress sites and like WordPress site management as like a side hustle? I know I get asked all the time by people like, oh, do you know how to use WordPress? And like one of the biggest reasons why I've always stayed away from WordPress is so I can answer no, honestly answer no, because I don't want a job of managing people's websites. Like I don't find managing websites fun. Once you like do one thing on it the very first time, you will forever be their web admin. So like since you enjoy it, have you ever thought about doing it?
You know, I hadn't thought about it up until recently. Not to get too, I'm helping a family member of mine build a website currently, and I'm actually enjoying the heck out of it because it's kind of fun. Because I'm getting what I want, which is basically to kind of play around and make a website kind of become its own. After using like I'm not a programmer, I don't know the back end of things very well. I can use a couple of like WordPress building services like Site Origin or WordPress Bakery. Like there's different kind of plugins that you can use to kind of make it a front end editor as opposed to like having to play with CSS all the time. But I know enough about HTML and CSS and, you know, enough of the WordPress, you know, its own kind of thing to where I could build a site if people wanted me to. As far as how much it would cost and how much of a demand people have for that, hit me up and we'll figure something out if you want.
I think I honestly get asked at least once every 3 months. And I always tell people, nope, I don't know anyone that does it, because like I don't want to put that on somebody. But like if you had like a legitimate side business, there you go. And I'd refer everyone to you. But like I know personally, I don't ever want to be somebody's web admin. Like that's... Like, even at my day job in IT, we have somebody else that manages the website. Like, I do nothing with the website because I do not. I don't enjoy websites. I like blot.im because of how simple it is, how easy it is for me to automate. I basically never touch the back end except to update like my shortcuts gallery page and like my gear page and stuff like that. I never touch any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I've done recently on the back end is I've added like a Patreon button at the top. Like that's it. And that was easy. That was copy and paste.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would be able to like host. I mean, if I were to do it, it would have to be through something like EC WordPress where all the hosting's kind of taken care of. And then like I'll just help build your site. And then once it's built the way that you want, I'll give it back to you. And if you need help, I'll help you.
Yeah, so. No, that would be exactly it. It would be you building websites and then like in the future managing the website, like if they need anything changed or something like that. And you could charge hourly for that and stuff like that. Anyways, we're totally getting off topic. Actually, no, I mean, it's kind of on balance with for your yearly theme.
So, yeah, so year of making. So I have been playing with my website, but that's not the only thing I've been working on. I've been revitalized the newsletter. In fact, after we record with this, I'm going to go and work on the next issue. And that's been kind of fun. I'm working on doing more video stuff as well. Like there's just a lot of like pots, I, you know, plates I have spinning and, you know, a lot of irons in the fire kind of thing, you know, of like things I'm just kind of like either trying out or like, you know, doing more of, but like, it's all about like me wanting to make more things. Cause I think that that's one thing I've been kind of missing in my life lately is like, just like being more creative and having things to kind of create, you know, as much as I like to write on my site, there are also other things that I want to like kind of do, which is, you know, building websites or, creating video content or doing newsletter kind of thing. Like there's a lot of things I kind of want to like, you know, try out and see where they kind of take me. So I think that I'm officially changing my yearly theme from the year of opportunity to the year of making. So,
okay. I like that.
That is where I am at. We've entirely gone too long on my stuff. So let's hear what your yearly theme has been up to? Because I know you said it was kind of going down like a, it took like a hard right. So where are you with your yearly theme right now, Chris?
So my yearly theme is the year of balance. And at the beginning of the year, the whole idea behind it was I was spending way too much time working between my day job and my side hustles and all that stuff. Like I wasn't doing it. I wasn't having much of a personal life. Wasn't like going out with friends, dating, anything like that. Like I was just working, and this was kind of to help me get back on track. And it was, I was doing a really good job of it up until recently when COVID hit. And so now I've been kind of like trying to like, it's still the year of balance. Like it's, my theme is definitely the year of balance. We talked in the last episode about how I've been like scheduling my day, and I've been sticking with that still. I like some days I've been going past my 4:30 cutoff. Like yesterday I worked till about 6 last night on my Magic Keyboard review. Talk more about that in a minute. But like I've been trying to just balance my life, because right now I basically only have two things to do, either work or play Animal Crossing. So I'm trying to balance those two, because that's about all I can do right now. So it's still the year of balance. I think it's still going good. I just and you know, actually it's not just those two. I've been working on like other fun side projects. I put a video on my Instagram stories and Twitter not too long ago. Basically, I took an old 6th generation iPad and I mounted it in my studio here, and I'm running the Pushcut server on it. So basically, like I can like trigger stuff automatically on that server. I set up some Philips Hue buttons to like when I hit the button, it actually triggers a shortcut through the Pushcut server, and I'll start like playing music on my HomePods here and stuff like that. Fun fact, it only works about 50% of the time. I've traced it back to the Home app, and I don't know. I teased that as a video I was working on a long time ago, but I can't get it to work consistently because of the Home app. So I'm like, we're just going to put that on the back burner for right now. But anyways, your balance, it's been going pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. So I guess how is that a hard, like you said it was like a hard right. Like what's the hard right?
Mostly cuz like you know, it was the year of balance was the idea of balancing work and having some sort of a personal life like outside of work. But like right now, like there is no personal life. Like I there is no going out and hanging out with friends or dating or whatever. Like there is nothing like that, because I'm not leaving the house. Like as we've talked about in the past, I'm diabetic. I'm in the high risk category. I am not leaving my house.
Well, also even if you're not a high risk candidate, like just don't.
Yeah, no, nobody should leave. You know what's really frustrating is I don't think people understand what the stay at home thing means. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, that means I just don't go to work. No, that means you don't go to McDonald's and get a sausage biscuit in the morning. Like that, there is anyways, I'm just kidding. Wait, let's talk about something else. I received my Magic Keyboard, Jeff.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to work on, there's a lot of thoughts I have with this, but I mainly just want to hear like, you know, what your review of the Magic Keyboard is. So is it everything you've wanted and more?
The word magic is in the name, and oh boy.
Wait, is it the Magic Keyboard or is it the Smart Keyboard?
It's the Magic Keyboard for iPad. It's the Magic Keyboard, but I'm calling it the Magic Keyboard for iPad Pro. Because they're getting rid of all the naming. So Apple is going through and like ditching all the other keyboard names before this and putting Magic Keyboard in it, because they've had such bad publicity when it comes to keyboards on their laptops.
Yeah.
Because even the last, the Smart Folio Keyboard and the Smart Connector Keyboard, those use the butterfly switches. Those didn't use the scissor switches. They were just covered, so nobody had any weird issues with them. Like dust wasn't getting in there and breaking the whole thing.
So
the Magic Keyboard is magic. It's pure magic. I said I wasn't able to date anymore because of the COVID-19 thing, but that's not true. The Magic Keyboard and I are going steady. Technically, I guess we'd have an open relationship because I still have a mechanical keyboard on my desk, but that's besides the point. I'm working on my Magic Keyboard review video right now. I have basically, I got this on Wednesday whatever day that is. Right now it's Sunday the 26th. I got this on Wednesday, and I've basically been throwing everything at it. I've been spending all my time with this thing. I've been editing video, audio, photos, anything that I can think of, writing large amount of text. Fun fact, my Magic Keyboard review is currently sitting at about 3,000 words. And I had to take a break from writing yesterday, so I filmed a ton of B-roll already. I do this thing when I start focusing on one particular thing, my mind starts drifting a little bit, and like it's not... I need to like step back. Mm-hmm. I don't... That probably doesn't make any sense, but whatever. So no, I just need does. To take
like,
a...
It's like it's a lot like with coding or, you know, whatever. Like, if you have a problem... Or if you're like really focused on something, and whether it's frustrating that you hit like a snag, it's better just to like let it go, walk away from it, and come back to it later. Like I can kind of understand where you're coming from with that.
It wasn't that I hit a snag. It was just like I felt like I was running around in circles. I felt okay. for a while there, a lot of my review video was just me reading off the spec sheet, and I don't want my review, like I don't think anyone actually wants reviews where you just read off spec sheets, because you can just go to apple.com and read the spec sheet right there. So I rewrote a lot of it to be more like it includes the spec sheet and like what it can do, but like my experience with that. So that's been really nice. I like where it's going. I'm going to be recording all the audio and stuff. My goal is to have it out Tuesday, but maybe I can get it out tomorrow, being Monday the 27th. But I have to, we're recording this today, and then I have to edit this also, and then I don't know if I'll get it out Monday or not, but I think by the latest it'll be out Tuesday. I've spent a ton of time with it. Normally I like to spend like at least a whole week with a product before I review it, but like the last two things that I've reviewed were the iPad 2020 12.9, and there just wasn't enough changes to it to really like okay, what am I going to do with it for a week before. So like I spent like 3 or 4 days with it and then started reviewing it. And then this, I've just been spending so much time with it. Like, I feel like I've got it down. Mm-hmm. So like I'm okay there. I was a little disappointed I didn't get a review unit from Apple. Like, come on, Apple, please.
I honestly think that if you were to reach out to them, you might be able to get some legs on it.
I should have done it when they originally announced it, and I didn't. I don't know why I didn't. I should have, when they originally announced it alongside the 2020 iPads, and they said, oh, it's not coming until May, even though it ended up coming in April. Thank you. I should have right then emailed them and been like, hey, here's who I am. Like, can I get a review unit? And I didn't. And I texted you, it was this last Monday when all like the embargo dropped, and I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh man, that would have been cool to have that. It's been out day one. And I'm not saying I deserve to be, and I'm not saying that I should be, but it's just one of those things. Like, I would love to get a review unit from Apple and be like one of those first people to get like an embargo drop or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just think it would be fun, but besides the point. But no, let's talk about the keyboard itself. The keyboard.
I have a couple of like ways I want to kind of go about this.
Okay.
So first of all, what's the typing experience like? Like, is it,
ooh.
How is that?
It's amazing. It has more key travel than the Smart Folio keyboard. I have typed on the crappy MacBook keyboards, the butterfly keyboards, a little bit. Those suck. Those have no travel. This has way more travel than that.
Yeah.
The keys feel good. They feel solid. I mean, I've typed 3,000 words on it already. Like, at least. I mean, I've worked on other things, but like the Magic Keyboard review is sitting at about 3,000 words, and I've typed on that solely. I just put the my desk back together with like the monitor and the mechanical keyboard and the Magic Trackpad because I was filming some B-roll yesterday. Mm-hmm. So like I put it all back together, and I came into my office this morning and was like done. I wasn't gonna take it apart. So like I just got that all back together. So up until like literally last night, I've only been using the Magic Keyboard. What's really great is the base is solid. So it works well in your lap. I've been sitting on the couch typing away. I've been sitting in my chair in the living room just typing away. It's not So the Bridge keyboard was always kind of like the best keyboard for like typing in your lap, like not at a desk experience, except for it had really sharp edges. I hated that about it. It's weird. They announced the Bridge Pro Plus, which had the trackpad. The initial reviews came out about that one, and apparently the trackpad experience isn't very good. It's emulating a mouse, not an actual trackpad. So I ended up canceling mine. I pre-ordered it right when it first came out, but like with tax and everything, it was over $250, and I couldn't justify keeping that order and getting that, and like literally just making a video about it and then putting it in my closet.
Yeah,
because like, it would have been a negative video too. Because like, at the end of the day, like I would have been specifically reviewing the trackpad of that keyboard because I've already reviewed the Bridge keyboard before, and it's a fine keyboard, especially if you need that kind of a setup. But at the end of the day, too, and I've said at the end of the day so many times already, an iPad keyboard needs to have the iPad close to the keyboard. Like, it needs to have close to the typing area so you can quickly reach up and tap on the display. And that's something the Bridge form factor just doesn't allow. With them adding the trackpad, that kind of helps get around it. But since the trackpad experience isn't that great, according to people that have reviewed it, not me, I wasn't excited about it. So back to your initial question. The typing experience is amazing on this thing. I talk about in my review, like, yes, I love mechanical keyboards. I still love mechanical keyboards. Mechanical keyboards are bae. But the Magic Keyboard is probably my favorite non-mechanical keyboard now.
Wow. All right. So is it the same? Maybe, I don't know if you know the specs on this, but are they the same switches as the ones that are now on the 16-inch MacBook Pro?
Yes, they're scissor switches now.
Oh, so those are really nice keys, because I have the 16-inch and I love the key travel on that. Like, it reminds me of a better version of like the old Magic keyboard that you would get for like an iMac. It reminds me of those, like, because those are also scissor switches, I believe.
Yes.
So they're very similar.
Yes. So basically, it is essentially the same keyboard. Honestly, Apple is going through their lineup. I think the only device left with butterfly keys is the 13-inch MacBook Pro, which I imagine that will be getting swapped at some point.
Yeah.
But like, they're definitely purging their line of the butterfly keyboard. I don't think anything is left. Actually, I take that back. Other than the 13-inch MacBook Pro, you can still buy the Smart Folio keyboard and the Smart Connector keyboards for the iPads. Those still use the butterfly switches. I didn't mind those as much when I had those. I didn't mind them as much because they were covered, so I didn't have any weird issues with like the keyboard breaking like people did with the MacBook line, because those weren't covered and dust and crumbs and stuff was getting in there and was causing issues.
Yeah, it turns out if you have a nylon covering on those keys, it works out really well.
Yeah, but that nylon cover gets dirty really quickly too. So that was kind of a trade-off. Now it's got like, you know, it's plastic keys or whatever like the standard key is, so like you can wipe it down. But the case itself actually gets dirty pretty easily. Like, it really attracts like finger oil.
Yeah.
Like, it really holds down. You can easily fix that with stickers.
Are you talking about the new one or the smart?
The new one, the Magic Keyboard.
Okay.
The Magic Keyboard, right. Yeah. I mean, the smart keyboard, too, like, it would get dirty, too, pretty easily.
So here's my question now that you've used both. If you had to, in a pinch, would you go back to the Smart Folio?
No. Magic Keyboard all the way, because of the trackpad. Having the trackpad is just amazing. It's another input method. A few people, and I talk about this in my review too, a few people pointed out that I am using a laptop now, and they're 100% correct. I am using a laptop, but it wasn't so much that I didn't want to use a laptop. It's that I didn't want to use a MacBook. I think in the past, and again, this is literally a quote from my review, in the past, I always felt I had to justify working from an iPad because I'd get angry YouTube comments about, bro, you should just get a MacBook. I don't want a MacBook. I just don't want it. I like an iPad. I like working from an iPad.
You like the iOS experience. Like
iPad OS. Thank you very much.
iPad OS, like, regardless of like what people's feelings are, is that like iPad OS is a solid OS. And
yes,
there are some things that I wish the MacBook would take from the iPad, primarily shortcuts. Like, shortcuts is a huge, huge selling point to me for using an iPad full time, because there are just some things I can't do on my Mac that I can do with shortcuts and very easily. Like, I had to take a course on how to use Keyboard Maestro to do some of the automation that I was doing with my iPad, because I wanted to do it on my Mac. And even then, I can't do everything that I wanted to do because everything is so well integrated with shortcuts and so easy for developers to use. It makes life very easy for the developers and the people that are using shortcuts to make the things that they want to make and be able to do the things that they want to do at the press of a button. Like, to me, I 100% understand people that want to go iPad only. If I had it my way, I would go back to iPad only. But because of my current situation with my jobby job and everything else, like, I'm going to have to continue to use a Mac and make do with what I can. I have done pretty well for myself so far as finding automations and doing things the way that I want to. But there are still some times where I'm like, I wish I had my iPad to be able to go do these things, because it's way easier to do it with just the tap of a button, or I can make a quick shortcut and make things way easier for myself if I do it that way. Just because I'm more familiar with it, because it's such an easy way to kind of build things for automation with shortcuts. Anyway, I don't mean to take this away from you, but like, I'm just trying to say, like, I completely understand why people are like, iPad OS is my OS of choice, and I don't want to go to a Mac if I don't have to.
Yeah, I like the iPad. Like, that's it. And yes, I have an iPad laptop now. I call this, in my review, I call it an iPad laptop, and that's what it is. But when I want my iPad tablet, it's just really easy for me to disconnect it, and now I have my tablet again. Yeah. I really like it. I'm going to save the rest for my review, because I, that way, you know, I'm not repeating myself a bunch. But, you know, there's some really nice things. Like, I got my second USB-C port and stuff like that. And it's surprisingly, it actually charges a lot faster than what I thought it would. Looks like some people, unfortunately, I don't have a tool to test this with, but some people have done some testing, and it looks like it tops out around 20 watts. So it's not the full fast charging, but it's faster than like the standard power brick that comes with the iPad. So
yeah,
that's actually really good. Like, I thought it was going to be like 5 watts. Like, I thought it was going to be really slow. But no, I'm pleasantly surprised. The only thing it doesn't do that I wish it did is pass data through.
That was going to be my question, because like, I don't know anything about that USB-C port. Because like, to kind of put perspective where I am, I've been actively avoiding learning about this because I don't want the FOMO. I can't. I can't afford it to go and get a new iPad, keyboard, and an iPad, because I have to get the iPad in order to get the keyboard, and the keyboard alone is like $350 for the 12-inch, right? It's like, what is it, $300 for the 11 or something like that? And then they have to buy the iPad itself, so yeah. You know, I'm looking at like $1,000 for the one I want, so you know, I don't have $1,200 to throw to just get a new iPad, because like I said, I use a Mac for everything I use, for most parts. So I've been actively avoiding this keyboard because I know if I like really get into it, I'm not going to be able to, you know, say no.
and I'll help ease your FOMO a little bit. And this is kind of the conclusion of my review, so I'm giving it all away for you here.
You can cut this if you want. I don't care.
No. Everything that's in the show is in the show, right? That's how it works. That's yeah. What the Do By Friday people say. No. So if you work from a Mac full time, like if the Mac is your main computer, you do not need this. Like, if you just kind of like casually do stuff from your iPad, like answer emails, things like that, you do not need this. If like a MacBook is your main computer, then you don't need this. If you have like an iMac or a Mac Mini or a Mac Pro even, and that's like your main computer, but you want a solid laptop, yeah, go for this. This would be a great laptop. But if you are the kind of person that works primarily from an iPad, actually only if you work primarily from one of the new 2018 or 2020 iPad Pros, then this is perfect for you. This is the perfect device for somebody like me. I kind of think Apple was had me in mind a little bit. I'm getting all teary eyed when they made this. Not really. I know Apple doesn't even know who I am, but that's okay.
But you're like their main target for this kind of stuff.
I am. I'm totally like this kind of thing is 100% really made for somebody like me that works primarily from an iPad Pro, and this is my computer. I said it in my iPad Pro review so many years ago. Speaking of which, fun fact, my iPad Pro 11-inch video, I was looking at old videos, it's almost at 1 million views.
Wow. Can you
believe that's crazy, right? Yeah, that's awesome. But that was the 2018 11-inch iPad Pro. Yeah, it's so awesome. That's a side point. I love this device. It's perfect for me. It's exactly what I want in a iPad Pro setup.
Cool. I'm very happy for you and for everyone that's managed to get their hands on one of these, because it seems like the perfect keyboard to go with the new iPads. In the 2018 iPad Pro.
Yes.
It just seems like to be the perfect one.
I've seen a few people, and I don't know where this got started, but I saw a few people online say, like, oh, it's stupid, Apple's making you buy the new iPad Pro to use this. They are not. You can use this with the 2018 iPad Pros. You can't use it with the previous iPad Pros because their smart connector was on the bottom, not on the back.
Yep.
But like 2018 and 2020 iPad Pros, both 11 and 12.9, work for their respective Magic Keyboard. So
yeah. Yeah, I am curious about possibly getting a keyboard from Logitech that's going to have the built-in trackpad for my iPad 7.
I've seen that.
It's not out yet from last I checked. It's like $150.
I think it's shipping. I've seen a few people with it, but I don't know. Maybe those are review units.
See, the website, I went to the Logitech's website and it says coming soon. So maybe I read it wrong. Maybe I can. I don't know. I'm considering getting it, but we'll see. Just because I really want to try out a trackpad experience, and I don't have anything really that I can do that with. And if I'm going to spend the money to get a Magic trackpad for like what, $90, I might as well spend the extra, you know.
Oh, extra, it's $90.
Is it okay?
So the silver one is $120, but the space gray one is $150.
Okay, so I could spend the same amount of money for an actual case that has probably a decent keyboard, because Logitech hasn't really had bad keyboards as far as, like, the keys. Like, they've had bad cases. Like, the Slim Combo is awful. But
yeah,
we'll see what this new one has, because it seems like it's a clamshell kind of style, so it looks better.
Fun fact, it is shipping now, and I am texting you the link.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you can go ahead and order it. It's $150. My only issue with it is it has a kickstand, and I honestly believe once you add a kickstand to a tablet, it's ruined. Because now you can only set it up at a desk. A kickstand does not work in your lap, especially something as small as that 7th gen iPad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. It never worked on my lap with the smart keyboard anyway.
That's true. The smart keyboard for that one does not work in your lap, because that's the weird origami one that mm-hmm. you have to like do the flips and stuff.
Yeah, the flip and fold.
The flip and fold. Oh, interesting fact. This one. Oh, you could detach the. Okay, so like I'm just looking at this product for the first time. Yeah, you could detach the keyboard. But it stays in a case, which I'm not super thrilled about that, but it gives you like an Apple Pencil stand, like a drawing stand and stuff for that. That's mm-hmm. actually pretty solid.
The kickstand is nice too, because it's not just like for viewing laptop mode. It goes all the way down to a drawing mode too.
Hmm.
It's not bad. Like I don't hate it.
Yeah, no, and I bet you it's a solid keyboard. Logitech makes like solid keyboard typing experiences. My one issue with it is look at the arrow keys.
Oh, no, I didn't look at the arrow keys.
Yeah, but it has a function row. Oh, see, even the Magic Keyboard doesn't have a function row.
Oh, no, the arrow keys are bad. Oh, God.
Yeah, why would they use the bad arrow keys? This literally, it's funny, because it looks like they took the smart connector layout and then just added the function row.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is one of those products Apple made and said, here you go, Logitech, you make this.
Is that a thing? I don't think it's a thing.
It's rumored to be a thing that the LG Ultrafine monitor was originally one of those Apple products, and Apple decided they didn't want to make it, so they gave like a bunch of the specs to. I don't know if this is true or not. It's just this weird rumor that goes around that they gave the specs to LG, and LG'd it up by making it a plastic crappy.
It does look pretty nice, I'm not gonna lie. So I'm considering it. We'll see if I actually get it, but.
You should get it. You should buy it right now. Buy it right now on the air.
No, I'm not doing that.
Look, if I bought what the next thing we're talking about, but I bought, then you can buy this.
Yeah, well, we'll see. we'll see what happens, because, you know, during these trying times, we don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow. So
that's true. That's very true. So I have been, well, before
go back to a second. What did you buy?
Well, that's what I was getting at. So before all this stuff happened, COVID, Corona, whatever, I was in the process of selling a bunch of gear, and I sold a bunch of stuff before it all hit. And I had been putting some money aside because, if you remember last year, iPad OS 13 came out. I put iPad OS 13 on my main production iPad, and yep. I probably texted you every single day, pulling my hair out, cursing, screaming, was just furious. I do not want to repeat that again. And yes, I had an extra iPad laying around, but it was a sixth generation iPad, 32 gigs. Like, it wasn't going to work for my use case.
Okay.
So I knew I needed a backup iPad. I've already sold my 2018 iPad Pro. I just can't deliver it to the person just yet. So that's all sold. So I bought a 11-inch 2018 refurbed iPad Pro. Apple, if you go to the refurbished page, has amazing deals on the 2018 iPad Pros. And because there's basically nothing different between the 2018 and the 2020 ones that I care about, I got a great deal on it. So I got an amazing deal on it, and all I had to do was pick up a second Apple Pencil, and I got one of the Smart Folio covers.
Okay.
And I got it for a few reasons here. So the biggest reason is when I film my videos, I usually film my 12.9-inch iPad Pro. That's still going to stay the same. But I have a second iPad with an Apple Pencil with good notes up and my script. And I go line by line checking off that I filmed a shot for that line. It is incredibly time-consuming to do it that way. I know there are better ways to do it. I know that. But that's how I get my style of video. Like, that's how I do it. And it helps me, that process, I cannot tell you how much it helps me with making a better video. It allows me to cut stuff. When I do, like, reshoots on videos, it helps me think out things that I could do better. It's just a really great process. So I needed a second iPad for that, and I was using my sixth generation before that, and it was fine. Like, it was fine. It had the crappy Apple Pencil where you had to plug it into the Lightning port. So, like, every time I'd go to film, the Apple Pencil would be dead, so I'd have to plug it in and, like, wait for it to charge, and then I could start. It wasn't the end of the world. But I wanted to make sure when iPad OS beta season comes around again that I had a device that I could put the beta on, and that is my device. That will be the device I film for my walkthrough video. That'll be the device I do all my testing on. But I wanted to make sure my production device, my 12.9-inch iPad Pro, has a stable OS on it, because I don't think I could handle another beta season like last year. Like, at several points, I've said this before, at several points, I considered shutting down my YouTube channel because of how hard that beta season was. And I was going through some other stuff like that. At that time, I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. Was not a fun time. I wanted to make sure I had everything possible. So this is a device 100% for work. But then also at the same time, I like the 12.9-inch iPad. It's a great tablet. It's a great thing. But I wanted something that was set up a little different so that I could sit on the couch, read Twitter while watching a movie, mess around in NetNewsWire, which, great RSS app, by the way. Fantastic RSS app if you use, like, the iPad as your primary way of consuming news, because it's got amazing trackpad support. I wanted something where I could just kind of, like, sit down and play around with shortcuts that didn't have all my production stuff on it, that didn't have, like, my video that I was currently editing. Because what would happen is I'd sit down and I'd start, like, playing around with something and be like, oh, let me just go over to LumaFusion really quick and make some edits to this video that I'm working on. And then 3 hours later, I was still, you know, I was editing a video. So I wanted to have multiple iPads that were for different purposes. Oh, and I use this iPad as, like, my bedside TV, because, like, I don't know. I'm just one of those people that has to fall asleep with, like, noise on. So, like I'll just, like, put The Simpsons on or something like that, and I'll just fall asleep with that going. So, like, I had legitimate use cases for it, and I knew, like, the biggest reason why, like, the sixth generation one wasn't working was because of iPad OS, that beta season. Like, I knew I needed to get something that looked modern that I'd be happy with to make my iPad, those videos look good. So that's what this 11th or 11-inch first generation 11-inch iPad Pros for. Any questions?
I have so many. Okay.
Okay.
This is probably going to go way longer than we think it's going to. Because
oh, this can be a two-hour episode, isn't it? That's okay. Whatever. It's fine. People need the content. People need the content right now. That's what I keep being told. That's what I keep being told.
We're the heroes, Chris.
Thank you for our service.
Thank you for our service.
I'm just stealing Due by Friday jokes today, aren't I? Sorry, Alex.
So it sounds to me like you got this iPad for a checklist.
What do you mean?
You're using it for GoodNotes, like to
for while I'm filming. Yes, like that is one of the reasons. Okay. Along with the many others.
So why wasn't the sixth gen okay with that? Like
no,
the sixth gen was fine for that.
It really came to when I was doing all the other stuff. The sixth gen had like the 9.7-inch display versus the 11-inch display. So mm-hmm, like you can just get more on the display. Plus the quality of the sixth generation display versus an iPad Pro, a current iPad Pro, is dramatically different. Plus, I will not lie, part of me is like, the sixth generation iPad just looks old now. Like, it just looks old. That was part of my reasoning is, but it was not the primary. It looks old. The display tech looks old. And also, my sixth generation one only has 32 gigs of storage. So because I bought it on the cheap because I thought, oh, this is going to be like my Twitter and news device and stuff like that. And what I was finding is because it looked old and stuff like that, I was never using it. Like I just didn't want it. Like I'd rather just sit down with my 12.9-inch. So like that was part of the issue.
Yeah.
So I know it's frugal, but I had been saving for this. It was. I feel really bad right now spending money because the last two episodes have been basically like, oh, Chris spent money. But like I've been planning for this stuff to happen for a while. Like it wasn't spontaneous. Like I had been planning up on it. And I feel really bad about spending money with everything that's going on. But I had been planning on it. I had been setting the money aside. It's for my business. I know everyone says I need it for my work. But like this stuff I actually did need for my work.
Okay.
So next question.
So, okay, the 11, so one, why did you get the Smart Folio as opposed to get the Magic Keyboard for that one too?
Ah, that is a good question. So currently that 11-inch iPad does not have, has never had a keyboard paired to it and has never had a trackpad paired with it. This is not my sit down and writing device. This is not my, I'm going to edit a video device. This is my... So the best way to think about it is I was talking about how my 12.9-inch iPad Pro is my laptop now. Yeah. The 11-inch is my tablet. Like, that's the best way to think about it. I still use my 12.9-inch as a tablet. Like, it's not permanently in the Magic Keyboard. In fact, I talk about this in my review. Like, I detach it and still use it as a tablet, but that's my production computer. Like, how people have a Mac Pro. Like, that is my Mac Pro.
Okay.
Because that is my production computer, and my 11-inch is what people would use as their tablet. And I just want to, like, keep my work stuff off of it. Like, I want to keep LumaFusion. I want to keep Ferrite off of it. For now, I'll probably put it on there come beta season so I can, like, test to see how those apps are working, if there's, like, anything new related to them.
Okay.
But, like, I wanted, like, that is my tablet. That is my messing around device. That, you know, I put a bunch of music on there, all sorts of stuff. Like, when I've been cooking lately, I've been bringing that into the kitchen and playing Overcast on it and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. So, I guess I'm not fully understanding, like, besides the fact that, like, it looks old, you wanted the new iPad, the Apple Pencil with it, and you wanted a little bit more screen real estate, it sounds to me like this is kind of a waste of, like $700 for a new iPad.
But also, at the same time, like, again, iPad OS beta season, that's what's getting iPad OS 14. All those videos I will be filming with iPad OS 14, it's going to be filming that device, because I want the device to look modern. Also, because I film the device, the display on the sixth generation looks like crap. So when you're filming it looks bad. I guess I didn't do a good job of explaining this. It looks bad. So, and this is really specific to me, I understand. Maybe we should cut this from the show.
No, this is good. Like, I genuinely want to understand, like, the reasoning behind this, because from where I'm sitting right now, it seems like you bought a new iPad because you wanted the new iPad.
it isn't even the new iPad. It's the 2018 model.
Well, like, you wanted to upgrade from a non-pro to a pro.
Exactly. But like you remember how bad it was in iPad OS 13, how stressed I was when stuff wasn't working. I mean, at one point, LumaFusion couldn't even export video. There was a 2 to 3 week window where LumaFusion couldn't export video. And I had iPad OS 13 on my iPad Pro. I just couldn't make videos for 3 weeks.
And I
was like, well, I could downgrade, but then if I downgrade, I have to stop writing my iPad OS walkthrough, and that's a big part of my summer. So I was like, I do need for my work. I do need to have a second iPad Pro that can run the betas, and then I need to have my production iPad on a stable release because at the end of the day,
I understand that. Okay. I completely get because to me it sounds like it's a developer machine almost,
but instead of developing for it, I'm filming it, and since I'm filming it, I want the best possible quality to film it, because my iPad OS walkthrough video is a big video that I do, like that is a video that does really well for me.
It's one of the videos I look forward to every year from you,
and also like it's one of those videos that like people learn a lot from, but like I get a lot out of it. My audience grows because of that. Like it does a lot for me. So I want those videos to be the best possible quality they can be. And if I was filming a sixth generation iPad, it wouldn't be the best possible quality. And also there's stuff the sixth generation iPad can't do. Like the multitasking on that is incredibly limited versus what the iPad Pro multitasking is.
Right.
So, cause like if you do slide over, you can't get to the apps in the background, and who knows what iPad OS 14 will introduce. So like I was in a position right now, I'd been saving for a while. I had sold some stuff. I was in a position where I could get this now. And like, I was just like, yeah. And I felt terrible ordering it, by the way. Like I feel horrible buying something excessive like this, but like I am continuing. We may end up being in Mad Max style apocalyptic era in, you know, a couple of weeks, but I am just going to continue as business as usual. And I'm going to keep making videos because that's what brings me joy.
Yeah. All right. I think I can understand your justification with this. Because when you first mentioned this, I was like, Oh, here we go. Chris is going to buy another iPad.
Yeah.
And potentially get rid of it again, because you have bought the 11 inch before and you sold it because you got the 12.
No, I didn't sell it. I returned it.
Okay.
It was within the two week window. I returned it and I bought the 12.9 inch. Because I bought it thinking, remember, the first and second generation 12.9 inch was huge. It was significantly larger because of all the bezels and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just annoyed because I couldn't use that one as a tablet. It was just way too big. So like when they originally announced in 2018, I bought the 11 inch because I wanted a tablet. And then, you know, I saw the 12.9 and used it a little bit. And I was like, oh, this actually works as a tablet really well without like all the keyboard stuff. So that's why I did that. It was return, not I sold it.
Okay, so, all right. With the semantics out of the way, so now I have the question of, are you going to be buying two iPad Pros from now on?
No. I think what'll end up happening is major iPad releases. I will upgrade the 12.9 inch because that's my main iPad. But minor ones after the major one, then I will upgrade the 11 inch.
So it's almost like an every other year kind of thing.
Exactly. You know how like some people upgrade their desktops and then some people update their laptops? It's kind of like that kind of thing. I like computers, people. I just like computers. Yeah. They're fun. I like computers. They bring me joy.
Well, some people spend all their money to go to like Disney World or skiing out in Alaska or whatever. You spend your money on computers. Like you don't need to justify how, you know, what you're spending your money on.
I haven't seen my YouTube comments then.
Well, okay. I've said this to you before and I'll say it publicly. YouTube comments are the cesspool of the internet. I mean,
that's true.
I don't understand. Like sometimes I feel like people just have to comment because they feel the need to comment. It's like it reminds me of certain people on Facebook that just have to leave a comment no matter what. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like what? you could just go pat. Like, you can like it and keep going. Like, you don't need to leave a comment on everything, okay? Like, Karen, get out of here. You don't need to be...
No, you're not allowed to use Karen anymore.
What are you talking about? What?
Oh, you didn't see that? Never mind. We'll move past that. We don't have time for that. But no, speaking of YouTube comments, one really quickly. I was actually thinking about this the other day. Most YouTube comments, like, I send you screenshots of YouTube comments all the time. I sent you one yesterday that was really funny. The only one that I think that has ever stuck with me was the most annoying comment ever. It was, I wore a hat in a video, and somebody commented, "Remember, it's very rude to wear a hat." I messed it up. "Remember, it's very rude to wear a hat inside a house." And, like, I don't know why that is the one that has stuck with me. But, like, every video since then that you see me, I'm wearing a hat now. I don't know why that's the comment that sticks with me, but that, yep, I don't know why. But that's, like, my middle finger to that comment. Because I'm just, you know, like, who the hell cares?
You know what you should do? You should do an episode where you have an umbrella open while you record. Ooh.
Just holding an umbrella.
Just holding an open
head.
Umbrella indoors.
And wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, under a ladder.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why that is the only YouTube comment that's ever stuck with me, but it is. So, yeah.
Well, I am very happy with that you're happy with your purchase, because
but does it make sense? Like,
it does. For me it makes sense. To other people maybe not, but, like, I get you probably more than most people do. And then with what you've explained as far as, like, why you need it and why what you're using it for, it does make sense to me. Like, when you finally got to the point of, like, talking about it being used for beta and also for being on camera, yes, the iPad Pro is significantly better in screen in almost every facet you could imagine. The resolution is better, the brightness is better, the refresh rate is way better.
Yeah, like,
everything about it is a giant upgrade from a non iPad Pro, and I get that.
And I needed the storage too. Like, 32 gigs of storage was not enough to justify. Like if I was going to use the sixth generation iPad as, like, my beta testing device, like, I would have to be able to edit video on it, edit audio and things like that. Yep. And, like, there's just not enough storage on it. Like, that was originally bought as, like, a news, Twitter, video. It was purchased for the idea of using it as a tablet. But since, like, my business, I guess, has grown and evolved, and basically I'm trying to prepare myself for another iPad OS beta, and I'm going, until I know otherwise, I'm treating it like it's going to be the iPad OS 13 beta, where it was just miserable and constantly, like, it was issue after issue, and I just wanted to be able to I want to be able to get out in front of that, because I can't handle another beta season like that. I don't know if it wasn't just me that was having a hard time with it. Like, the developers were struggling. Everyone else that was doing walkthroughs and reviews of the iPad OS beta and iOS beta, like, they were all having issues. It wasn't just me. But boy, it was, friend of the show, Matthew Casanelli, he did a shortcuts video. I remember this very fondly. He told me he did a whole shortcuts video, and he had a Mac OS beta on his iMac, and there is a bug that he couldn't actually export the video in time. So, I don't know if he wants me to share that. Sorry, Matthew, if you don't.
Well, it's indicative of, like, how bad the beta season was that year.
And
if it's going to happen again, you might as well be prepared for it.
Exactly. And I'm not going to, and I don't want to wait until after it comes out, because I know my excitement level. I know as soon as that keynote is over, or however it's going to work this year, I'm going to be installing the beta on a device. Not every device, but on a device. And if I didn't have this 11-inch, it would be going on my 12.9-inch. I know myself well enough. Like, iPad OS 13 actually went on that sixth generation first, and I just couldn't do anything with it. It was too slow. It was so. Anyways, let's move on to something else. I don't like talking about me, so let's pivot to something I think our listeners can use. In these trying times, oh God, I hate when people say that. Have you noticed how all the commercials are like, oh, X company, we're here for you in these trying times? I just want to, like, call them and be like, hey, okay, I need $100,000 and just see what their response is then.
Yeah.
Anyways, in these very difficult times. Let's talk about some productivity tips and tricks, maybe, that people can use. I don't know about you, but I've been really into music lately. Like, I've always enjoyed music. I've always enjoyed listening to music. You know, I can really get into some stuff, but like AFI and stuff like that. But I talked a little earlier. I mounted that my old sixth generation iPad to the wall. Another reason why I wanted to buy another iPad was because I wanted to make that sixth generation iPad a pushcut server. So that one's a pushcut server. So I like have some shortcuts and stuff that like play music to HomePods now and stuff like that. But I found this app, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. I put it in the doc. Maybe you can help me with it. But Mubert, M-U-B-E-R-T.
Is it Mubert? Is it French?
Maybe. Oh, maybe that makes sense. Mubert. Oh, sounds so fancy. Fancy dancy.
Do you want some cheese with that Mubert?
A croissant next to the Eiffel Tower. I don't know what accent I'm doing. I've just like offended like all of Europe.
What's the snail? What's that called?
Huh? Escargot.
Yeah, you want some escargot. Yes, yes.
Ugh, who would actually... anyways.
Apparently it's very good.
I will never try it. So, Mubert is a terrible app. Like, the app itself is terrible. It doesn't support any of, like, the iOS stuff. Like, it hijacks your audio in a weird way. It doesn't even have an iPad app. It's a terrible app. But it uses AI, or... they claim it uses AI to generate different music for different kind of modes. So there's like working mode, there's relaxing mode, there's meditation, there's even a high mode.
Nice.
Which is, yeah, it's like $20 a year. And there's like a 7-day trial, and I tried it out, and boy, is it good. Like, I've had it on the whole time I've been writing my Magic Keyboard review. It is very good for focusing. Just because, like, lately I found, like, music with lyrics, even, like, girl talk and stuff like that, like, it's been distracting to me.
Yeah.
Like, my ADHD is, like, at an all-time high right now. So, like, this has been working for me. Paired with, like, noise canceling and headphones and stuff like that. Really good. Really good. Because apparently my neighbor wants to take all of his phone calls right outside my office window. The sidewalk is like 6 feet from my window. And this dude, and I've been leaving my window open during the day because it's starting to get really hot here in the afternoon. So in the morning I'll leave my window open, cool off my apartment, and then close it all up. But he has been taking all of his business calls right outside my office. So frustrating.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's funny to me.
So frustrating.
That's hilarious to me. I get it.
So noise canceling plus this has been fixing the issues, except he paces. So like out of my peripheral vision, I just see this person pacing back and forth. So frustrating.
Yeah.
I like having my window open. I like getting that fresh air. But oh my gosh. Anyways, do you have anything for our audience or any questions about this app? Because like I actually really like it. I've been using it. I also made another shortcut that I've been using for like when I'm filming and stuff like that we put in the show notes. I made a whole video about it, but basically it looks at your Apple Music library, randomly gets an album and starts playing it. I like listening to music in album form, just like start to finish. That's been really awesome too.
So this music that this app kind of gets, is that like actual songs from like different artists, or is it like a playlist of like basically like ambient noise?
It's like ambient noise music that's artificially generated. There is no lyrics.
So
no lyrics.
I kind of use similar stuff. So my go-to for music that is ambient or stuff I can just have in the background of my head when I'm like either writing or doing work mode is there's a focus mode Apple Music playlist. There's also a bunch of playlists on Spotify. I've actually started using Spotify more because I think that their suggestions are way, 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 way better than Apple Music. And I'm trying to find like new music to listen to. But I listen to like those playlists, or those are pretty good. One guy that I listen to a lot is Brian Eno. Eno is the last name. He has like tens of albums of like ambient noise that you can listen to that like you can use while working. He's kind of like the king of ambient music kind of thing. Like, I don't know if it's music or not, but like he's like that guy. And finally, I took this from Sean Blanc in one of his courses. He mentioned the Monument Valley albums. Like, if you ever played the game Monument Valley on iOS, the music in it is fantastic.
Yes,
and they have an original soundtrack for both 1 and 2, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
And they're both available on both Apple Music and Spotify if you have either of those, and you can listen to it, and they're fantastic to listen to when you're working.
Yep, I have both of those added to my Apple Music library. You'll have to send me a link to that, the person that you were talking about that makes the ambient music stuff.
Just search for Brian Eno and you'll find all this stuff. But yeah.
Okay.
I'll see if I can find a link or something that you can use to either go to Apple Music or Spotify or maybe both. So,
okay.
But yeah, I like his work. I've listened to his stuff since college because one of my writing professors mentioned him, and I gave it a shot and I loved it. So like I listened to that. I've tried listening to podcasts when I'm doing like more mindless stuff, but I used to be able to. Like, there was a time where I was doing a lot of input and output on Excel spreadsheets, so I was really able to like listen to podcasts then because it's just super mindless work of like just cut, copy, paste, delete, search, copy, paste, delete. Like, it was super, super, super mindless, and there was like 3,000 lines of stuff I had to go through manually. Like, there was no way for me to automate it because it involved me taking the part number for a thing, searching for it in a database to get the image for it, and then renaming the image into a file. So it was a whole thing, and there was no real easy way to automate it because it was cumbersome. So I listen to a lot of podcasts for that, but like now when I'm like working on some Photoshop stuff or video editing, I mean, video editing you can't really do because you need to be able to hear the sound that you're doing, but if I'm working on some quote-unquote mindless work, I'll try and listen to podcasts, but that hasn't been working out for me. So I either work in silence, which I actually kind of enjoy, or if my wife is on like a Zoom call because she's also working from home, I'll put in music and just listen to that. I have really good like podcasting headphones that I've been using. I don't have any like noise canceling headphones, but these ones are closed. So if I have the music up in my head, like not super loud, but loud enough to where I hear that, I can hear that over anything else, and it works out pretty well.
Okay, that's good.
I also started using Things 3, Chris, and
is it because of a certain video?
Yes, it was because of your video. Yes, okay, yes, it was.
I have gotten at least I should get some kickback from Things or something. I cannot tell you how many people have reached out to me, both in my personal and like Twitter life and stuff like that, and online life, that have downloaded Things 3 because of that video. You're welcome, Culture Code.
So I've been using it and it's been working out pretty well for me. I think I need to do my weekly review today, because I need to like reorganize some things because I've been adding things to my task for quite a bit, but it's been working out pretty well as far as like keeping an idea of what my things I need to work on and tasks for both work and personal projects. So it's been doing better because I was originally using Todoist, and the reason I liked Todoist and the reason I stuck with it even after we kind of talked bad about it the other, a couple weeks ago, was because the input for it was super, super easy. Mm-hmm. As far as like being able to be like, do expense report for this company, at this company, hashtag finances, due at 7 p.m. Friday. And it would just automatically populate all the stuff that I needed for it, for context, project, due date, priority even. Like, it was super dead easy to put that kind of stuff in. But I will say, Things 3 has a really good, I don't know if it's X callback or like they have X callback URLs that are really good, and like they have a really good website that you can kind of use to build your own X callback URL for that kind of stuff and then use it in turn to automate it. But they also have a really good shortcut support as well.
Yeah, they take advantage of the new iOS and iPadOS 13 shortcuts that do a really good job that don't require you to open the app. The only thing they don't do, actually, you know what? I take back my statement about wanting like some kickback culture code. There's three things that I want from you to add to the app. The first being in your shortcuts, the ability to create a project and then in that same project, add in that same shortcut, be able to add tasks to that project. You cannot do that without using X callback URL right now. So I'd love that. The second thing, speaking of shortcuts, the ability to pull tasks out via shortcuts. Like reminders, I know it wouldn't be as robust as reminders because reminders gets to do some special stuff because they're blessed. But just the ability to basically say, pull my the tasks that are due today out of things and be able to display it using like the show alert action or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that way I could have Siri read that off to me. I really miss that about using reminders. It's not enough for me to go back to reminders, but I really miss that. And then the final thing is the thing everyone asks for, the ability to check off repeated tasks early. Like, you can keep your kickback culture code. And by the way, everyone, I'm joking about the kickback. I would never actually accept money from a developer. That is a total joke. Please do not take that serious. The problem is that somebody would actually take that serious, and then I know, have a whole issue on my head. So I shouldn't have even made that joke, but anyways, just those three things. Those three things are what I need, and I would be the most happy things user imaginable.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm already pretty happy, but like those three things would actually be huge quality of life improvements.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so I mean, I'm working on writing some stuff up about my thoughts about things three, but you know, for 10 out of 10 would recommend because it's working out really well for me this time around. You know, much like my website stuff, I don't plan on moving anytime soon. Especially because you know, Things 3 is just is very, very Apple friendly, and that's kind of the ecosystem I'm in. While Todoist is a web app that is meant to work for everything, which means it works fine for everything, but not great for anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. But exactly. I will say they have a very good API that allows you to pull content out in very interesting ways, and it also hooks into pretty much my new favorite web services, Zapier, really well. I flirted before I made that video. I was kind of flirting around with other task managers, but ultimately I decided, you know what, the ability to automate is not as important as the ability to add things and quickly get to things, and not things the app, but like tasks in the app. So plus the other major issue is Things has amazing keyboard support. Like, you can pretty much navigate the whole UI just from the keyboard. And I am big on keyboard shortcuts. I don't remember how old I was when I started learning like about keyboard shortcuts and computers, but like even then I was pretty young and I understood like how much better this is than using a mouse or even like a touchscreen. Like, your hands are there, especially with something like a task manager where you're just constantly inputting stuff, not having to lift your hands from a not having to lift your hands from the keyboard is important. So, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the keyboard support that Things has is unprecedented with any other task manager that I've used, including Todoist
and Reminders.
And Reminders even, yeah. So, like, there's a bunch of, like, apps that could be way better in keyboard shortcut. So the reason I went from Todoist to Things is because that was the best option as far as non-natural language input. Yeah, it would make it easy for me to be able to add tasks and put all the information that I wanted to put in one go, as opposed to just like throw something in the inbox, go back and edit it later. Because like it's easier for me to be able to just go, you know, just like clack on a few keys and then it's good. So,
okay, so Jeff, you've been texting me a lot lately about your note taking. Journey, we'll call
it's an endeavor. It's an endeavor.
That's a good word right there. I like that. It's an endeavor. I know you were using Drafts for some stuff, because Drafts is the one place that text belongs, because it is the holy land of apps. Okay, I don't know where I'm going with this. Save me.
All right, so
somebody save me.
We're gonna get copywritten. So all right, so here's where I'm at right now, Chris, is that I've been using drafts a lot for capturing. Like, I've gotten that down to a science where I capture things into drafts. Like, okay. I have an idea, you know, a quick thought, or, you know, work stuff that I need to just kind of like take and just paste as plain text and get rid of all the crappy formatting and different web stuff that I do. I'll throw it in drafts. I also use the app Tot, but we can talk about that later time. Like, that's it's a decent app if you want to just like have a scratch pad.
Yeah,
it's I think it's maybe like the same people that make Twitterific, Icon Factory.
Yes.
So it's fantastic. It's $20 for the iPad app, but it's free for the Mac. So I don't get it, but you know, whatever. I paid them.
It's a weird business model. It's a very strange business model. I bought it on the iPad, which I think it's a universal app, so I got it on the iPhone as well. It does not replace drafts for me.
Like, No.
I bought it because like I like supporting app developers. It's part of my job to check out apps, but like I don't see myself using it for anything. So
I use
continue.
It as a scratch pad because I just like if I know if it's like, ephemeral and it's just gonna go away after today, I'll just delete it and it won't have to be in my drafts.
See, I put it in drafts and then like it just gets added to my inbox workspace, and then like, you know, whenever I sit down to go through that, like I just deal with it then. But like,
right.
Drafts, one spot for you know, text. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's kind of my thing. But please continue.
Well, for me, I go by the logo. It's where text starts. So I put stuff in drafts all the time, but I don't have workspaces. I don't have tagging. I don't have any semblance of organization with the in drafts, mainly because I can't wrap my head around it. And at this point, I'm too set to where like I just don't want to like play around with it again and try and build out something that I'm not going to completely understand. So okay. I'm in a place where like I will start everything in drafts because I know regardless of what no app I decide to use, I can send it over to that app pretty easily. Even Evernote works well with it. So if I wanted to use Evernote, I could. We'll talk about them in a second. So
why would anyone ever want to use Evernote?
Nobody wants to. They need to have necessity. Like, nobody wants to use Evernote. So
gotcha.
Anyway,
okay.
Anyway, so I need to find a place where I can, you know, take the text that I start in drafts into a new note-taking system. And I've boiled it down to three applications. And I've tried all three of them pretty robustly. And I'm going to go from the ones that were, you know, not that promising all the way to the one that I am finally using. So the first one that I used was an app called Keep It, which used to be called Together 3, or it was called Together, it was version 3, and then they replaced it with an app called like Keep It.
Yes.
And it's really robust for what it can do, but there are a few things that kind of are DOA in my opinion. They're dead on arrival for me. So Keep It is a Evernote alternative. So you can have like bundles and folders and you can organize it in like, you know, the same kind of way where Evernote has like notebooks and stacks. You can kind of do the same thing. And it takes a lot of information that you can kind of like use it with. And it has a tremendous amount of different shortcuts that you can use in the shortcuts app built into it. So that's great. But for me as a Mac user, that, you know, there are still things that aren't, you know, necessarily as easy for me to use on with Keep It than I can with like other apps. So for instance, Keep It doesn't have markdown syntax highlighting, which is what I primarily use and what I want to use. And it's kind of weird. The editor is kind of different. There's different keyboard shortcuts for different things. And when I used it on my iPad, as like a testing kind of thing, some of the keyboard shortcuts just straight up don't work. Like I tried putting a divider in and it just doesn't work. I tried like inserting the date and time and that straight up just doesn't work. There's some things that are kind of broken about it, and I'm not a fan of the text editor because it's kind of a basic WYSIWYG editor.
Okay.
And it wasn't my cup of tea. Like other people love it and I understand that, but for me, I wanted something that was a little bit more user-friendly as a writer's perspective. Like, it just doesn't seem to me that it would be an easy way for me to, like, save notes and work on them later and then get them out.
Okay.
Keep It was cool. And if, you know, if you're not trying to be a markdown only kind of person like myself, then maybe it would work out well for you. It's worth a shot. I paid them for a year. It was like $20 or something. You could buy the app itself for like $50 and never have to pay for a subscription. Like, they have a decent business model for people that are just trying to get away from subscription fatigue. So take that with what you will, but you can pay for it. The Mac subscription is not universal. You have to pay for a subscription on the Mac. You have to pay for a subscription on the iOS side of things. I think it's like $10 on the iOS side. So it's actually pretty cheap if you're iPad only. I tried that. It didn't work out well. I've already canceled my subscription with them. And then I moved over to an app that gets a lot of flack, but like I said, you use it out of necessity, and that was Evernote. So before everyone gets into a tizzy, this is not the app that I chose, but I decided to go with Evernote because it takes all of these different kinds of text that I'm trying to get in, whether it's articles I want to save and read later, quick web pages that I want to save, creating show notes for the podcast, creating ideas for blog posts and newsletter stuff, and saving stuff for my jobby job, because I get more and more files and text stuff that I need to be able to save and get access to very quickly. And I need to have some sort of organization with it, because right now I have it in folders and Finder, and it's just not working out for me. I want to be able to have a better search system that is more text-based, because that is kind of how my brain works. And Evernote seems to be the kind of place to do that. You know, they have a web clipper that I thought was unprecedented, and we'll talk about an app that actually does a pretty good job of it, if not better, in my opinion. But I like the web clipper because I was trying to find a way to be able to save articles and use them for linked posts for my website and for linking out to them in my newsletter and saving them for my jobby job if I find something that I want to use that would work well for something I'm working on at my job. So I wanted to have a way to kind of save these notes and put them in a way that works out well. And Evernote seemed to be able to kind of handle all of that stuff. But we kind of had the same problems that we had with KeepIt. They have a crappy editor, in my opinion. They don't have markdown syntax highlighting. And it's not exactly easy to get the stuff out, if I recall correctly. I haven't tried that yet. Maybe they've improved on that. But it's not that great of an app. And as a business for them, I also am not a huge fan of like the MLM stuff that they do on the side. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
But you don't want to buy their socks?
No, I don't want to buy their socks. And I also don't want to pay thousands of dollars to have an expert, quote unquote, come and tell me how I'm using Evernote wrong, how I should use it more. Like, they have these consultants that they had to take a course on. And once they do that, they can then go and make money from it. Like, I don't understand the business model on it, but I don't understand Evernote in general, because it just seems to me that, like, you know, every couple of years they're hanging by a thread and they try and do something to kind of make the app better. It somehow makes it worse. But then there's this huge community of people that are still like, Evernote's the best app ever. I don't see it. So yeah, I decided to try my hand on another application that I know is very well done and is, it is Mac only, so it doesn't necessarily work. But the good news is all I have is Apple ecosystem stuff, so it doesn't really matter to me if it supports Windows or not. And that app is Bear.
But really quick, years ago, and I don't know, maybe they dropped support for this, or maybe it came out and I never heard about it, but Bear said they were working on a web app for like Windows
they
people
are.
And Chromebook people and stuff like that. I don't know whatever came of that.
They are still currently working on it. They haven't really been very public on it, but like, people are still waiting on it. And I think they said that they are still working on it. It's just a matter of, you know, they want to get, I think they're trying to work on the app first and then have that be used as the framework for the web app. I don't know.
I wonder if the issue is because I believe Bear uses iCloud Sync. I wonder if they're having an issue having to build their own servers and going to have to move their notes out of iCloud. I don't know exactly how iCloud Sync works with, like, if I wanted to build a web app that hooks into my iOS app. Like, I'm not entirely sure how that works.
Boy, I don't know either, man. Like, that's so above my pay grade. It's so over my head.
It was years ago when I tried to be a developer that I made my crappy task manager. So it's been a while since I've done anything in Xcode or anything that deals with syncing, so I don't even remember, but
I couldn't tell you.
But I kind of wonder if that's what it's getting hold up on. But anyways, please continue. What's going on with Bear?
So I decided to go with Bear because, like, they are by far the prettiest note-taking app I've ever used. The Markdown support is there. It's built in. That is its main bread and butter, and it's fantastic. And I am very happy with how that app looks. So now I have what I want in an app as far as aesthetics go. But now I need to figure out if it's robust enough to kind of handle everything. And so there are some people that I know of that have thousands of notes in that application, and it handles it fine. And it supports images, it supports web links, it supports that kind of stuff. But like, my issue was, and I was pleasantly surprised when I was proven wrong, but I was under the impression that it does not support like web clipping, or like you can't like send an article to Bear. Mm-hmm. I thought it would just like send a title, the title of the post and a link to the post, and that was it. For me, I wanted to have the article itself into Bear so that I can use it for possibly creating link posts for my website, or using it for my newsletter if I want to, or just having it as like a read later service kind of thing. So after I installed Bear, because I wasn't really thrilled with the editor of Evernote, I decided to try Bear out one last time and see if they've added some stuff, because I know they've been doing some pretty big updates lately. I just haven't been keeping up on them. So I reinstalled Bear. I still have my subscription with them, and all my notes are still there, which I was very, very pleasantly surprised to see all of these notes and stuff that I had created in Bear still be there after, you know, months and months and months of not using it. It's still just being there because it syncs with iCloud. It works very well. And I've had issues with Evernote in the past where sync just breaks and it doesn't work. I don't know anything about how Keepit does their stuff. I think they also use iCloud, so they're probably in pretty good shape. But that very first thing, as far as an experience goes, was very pleasantly surprising. Like, I was very happy to see that it was, all my notes were still there after months of not using it, and there was no issues with it. I decided to kind of install it and try it out. And I was like, I wonder what happens if I just try and share an article from my website. And so I go to my website, I go to like the latest article, and I share. And it turns out there's like three different ways you can save content from the web into Bear. You can save it as a link itself, which basically just creates a note with a link to the web page in it. A titled link, which basically takes the web page title and creates a markdown link of the web page, and it creates a new note for that. Or, and this was the last one, it was web content, I believe is what it's called. And you can share the entire article, then it goes into Bear. But it not only just like takes the text and stuff, it takes the rich text, converts it to Markdown, and takes the images and puts them in there in its place as well. It basically takes the entire article, formats it to Markdown, and puts it as a new note in Bear, which is perfect what I want, because I write everything in Markdown anyway. My website is supported with Markdown when I send stuff out. Like, that's it's everything's markdown for me.
It's markdown all the way down.
So being able to see them like basically just do all this formatting for me automatically was absolutely fantastic, and I'm sold in the fact that Bear can kind of handle everything that I want it to. So now I'm working with Bear and moving everything from drafts that's important into a Bear app and organizing it that way. They have one kind of quirk that I'm trying to get used to, is that they use tags instead of like folders and stuff like that. But from what I can understand is that you can create tags in tags. So I can just create like a personal tag and have it be like personal finance or personal blog, or, you know, whatever else, or like, you know, work, you know, email marketing, or, you know, whatever else. Like, I can just do all of that stuff and have it be in its own kind of separate section, and it works out really well for that. And the search is fantastic, and it works out just perfectly, because you're just searching plain text as opposed to like with Evernote, you're searching God knows what. So I'm very pleasantly surprised to be able to give you a definitive answer from me of what my endeavor of note taking has taken over the last week or so. And I'm settling on Bear.
Okay. All right. I can respect that.
Are there any questions that you have in my lecture about note-taking apps?
What is a note?
Oh, God.
No, I'm just kidding. We can't. We don't have time for that.
We do not have time.
One really quick thing. Nobody commented on it. Maybe it wasn't funny, but in that last video I did about, you know, things and stuff like that, I had the line where I was like, I think way too much about what is a task, and then a little thought bubble that says what is a task, and then it went to what is love, baby, don't hurt me.
I thought it was funny. I was going to tell you that, but I forgot to.
Okay, like nobody commented on that. And I was like, okay, I thought that was funny, but maybe it was just like one of my really crappy jokes. But anyways,
it was a dad joke. Don't get me wrong.
It was totally a dad joke.
It was pretty funny.
For not being a dad, I'm full of dad jokes. Like,
yeah.
Okay, back to note taking. I am happy you were going with Bear and not Evernote, because I think Evernote would have been one of those things that lasted maybe a month with you, and then you would have gotten frustrated and rage quit it.
Well, yeah. Thankfully, that happened in a couple of hours as opposed to a couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I flirted with Evernote last year, like after iPadOS 13 came out and they added, like they updated all their shortcuts. Like I tried it out and I was just like, no, this is not a good app. Like it's still, and I don't know how like the Mac app is. I used Evernote back in the day, like 2007, 2008, when I first became a Mac user. And like it was an awesome app back then. Like it was really cool. But also at the same time, I don't think I really knew what was a good app, so maybe it was a bad app, and I just don't remember. But I'm glad you're going with Bear. I think Bear is like perfect for the kind of thing that you do, because you can do long form writing in it, you could do quick notes, and like you can easily separate it with those tags, like and like. Especially the, I don't know what the Mac app looks like, but the iPad app, it's I remember it has like the three columns.
Oh, the Mac app is exactly the same.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So you have like the tag view, and then you have your notes, and then you have the editor and stuff like that. So yeah. I think it's a good app. I think it's a solid app. I think if drafts didn't exist, I would probably use something like Bear and Tot together, like those two. If drafts, like some alternate really dark reality where drafts didn't exist, that's what I'd use. But for me, since like I have all my notes, and I actually recently changed all my like workspaces and the way they work, some people have actually been asking for a like a note-taking video, so maybe I'll do one. I'm kind of like on this whole series right now of like videos of like my productivity setup, because like there's no news and nothing really interesting happening right now. I say that with a magic keyboard sitting in front of me.
And there is news, just not Apple news.
Like, yeah, there's just not like we're in this weird spot where like where there's about ready to be a whole bunch of news in a couple of months and stuff like that. So like right now we're just kind of like in this weird holding pattern. So like this this is the time of the year where I kind of like do productivity videos and stuff like that. So I think maybe I'll do, I've got two videos I'm working on, so maybe after that I'll do my note taking video. But I think Bear's a solid choice for you. I think it's a good app. Maybe I should download and play with it again. I highly doubt I'd switch from drafts, but at the same time, you know,
they have really good. So the thing I really like about Bear is that they have fantastic shortcut support, and they like in built into the app. If you don't even want to play with shortcuts, built into the app, you can export it as a TXT file, a Markdown file, a PDF, an HTML file, a rich text format, a docx file, or even a JPEG, where it will take the text and like there's so many ways you can like export this content and like use it for however you want. Like they just make it dead easy for you to like get your notes out if you ever want to. Like it's super easy for me, and the thing I love the most about it is that I had one Bear note that had that was like blog post ideas, and I decided to take that list and create notes for each line, and I created a quick shortcut to basically like take that note, separate each line, format each line the way that I want it to, and create a new note in a specific tags in it to have it automatically organized the way I want it. And it was, I built it in about 3 minutes and I did it and everything worked perfectly and it worked really well. And I was super satisfied to be able to see all of my notes and stuff of like different blog post ideas that were just there that I can then, you know, add upon for each one and work on. Like it just worked out really well for me. Because they have really good shortcut support, and I'm happy to pay them, you know, the $15 a year to use their app, because it works out, you know, like I said, great. It's perfect.
Nice. No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you're finding something you're happy with, because that's all I ever really want for you, Jeff. I just want you to be happy.
Did we break up? What happened?
You know, it's not you, Jeff. It's me.
Yeah. You don't deserve me. It's fine.
Anyways, that's probably a great place for us to wrap up this episode.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, if people would like to find wherever you moved your site to this week,
It's the same domain, jeffperry.blog.
You say it's the same domain, but when we started this podcast, it was Tablet Habit.
Okay.
Tablet Habit. Tablet, whatever.
See, now you understand why I switched the name.
No, I just have I'm really bad at speaking, and I have a podcast and a YouTube channel. Great combination. Then it was Rocket Panda, and now it's jeffperry.blog. So don't act like it's always been the same domain.
Yeah. All right. You can find me over at jeffperry.blog, or if you want to join my newsletter, go to clicked.email, and I'm at Twitter at IamJeffPerry. Chris, where can they find your trustworthy and same-name domain and all that stuff?
TheUntitledSite.com, or you can go to TheUntitled.site. I bought that one.
Oh, nice.
It just made sense. Like, and actually, that's where like my email is set up, because I was like, oh, that's so much less to type than... Because my name's already long, Christopher Lawley. Like, that's... Anyways, besides the point. You can go there. There's links to my YouTube channel, Instagram stuff. There's like a whole gear page and a shortcuts gallery on there. So some cool stuff. Yeah, go check it out.
All right, Chris. We are, at the time of this, we've almost recorded for 2 straight hours. I don't know how long this episode is going to be, but it's going to be a long one. So
I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to go Freddy Cougar on this episode. So
okay, all right.
I'll talk to you next time. Yeah. Bye, everybody.